Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Against all odds, we continue to survive our Friday content around here. We're still here. God knows for how much longer.
We're still here.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penswell Performance Line. We'll have Ramona Shelburne coming to hang out with us in just a little bit, our great ESPN NBA writer and insider, getting ready for all the stuff that's already going on right now in NBA as we kick off free agency, get ready to start to look forward towards the draft coming up here. This week on campus in Bristol, I'm excited to try and run into Adam Silver somewhere around here, tell him some ideas that I've got for the league coming up. But Jhené, before we get into any of that, plenty of NFL quarterback news right now, both on some of what we saw last night that people are blowing way out of proportion, and some of what we learned today that's going to be very costly for one of the best teams in the NFC. News reported by our own Ed Werder, the results of a medical evaluation Monday for the New Orleans Saints revealed that Drew Brees has multiple rib fractures on both sides of his chest and a collapsed lung on his right side. So, Jhené, tough news there. I mean, first off, just how brutal that injury was. Drew Brees was saying he couldn't go back in and do his job in that second half. This is now the second collapsed lung issue that we've dealt with on this season, going along with Tyrod Taylor earlier. Gnarly stuff.
Yeah, it's really scary when you hear about those type of injuries, because I think a lot of people were concerned about the roughing the passer play, you know, the call in the game, and it's like, oh, we don't see it. Well, there's a reason why you don't, because these things are internal and they're real. And I think this was an opportunity also for Jameis Winston, for him to be able to show that he can be worthy, you know, of being able to contribute at the high level. So tough news for the Saints, but the good thing is they've found their bodies back, in the sense that Michael Thomas is back. You have Alvin Kamara, my goodness, accounting for all their touchdowns, I believe three yesterday. And so there are still systems around a quarterback that can just not turn over the ball for them to still find success.
Jhené, it's amazing how much it mirrors last year. Now that you mentioned the Cavalry's come back, that defense has started playing like itself in the last couple of weeks during a stint where you might have one or multiple games with your backup in there. The same way last year the Saints had that multi-game stint with Teddy Bridgewater that ultimately netted him another opportunity to go start in Carolina. Now could be a similar set of circumstances. This is partially why Jameis Winston signed here, to be around a team like this and to potentially have the opportunity to go out there and perform. I just hope he doesn't do it with that weird footwork drill that he was doing before the game yesterday.
I saw that. I'm here for him. He just leans into his personality. He knows it's probably goofy, and I'm a goofy person, so I sort of resonate with that type of energy. But I think there's another predicament, and you know, just not trying to put you on the spot, but you've sort of been so-so on Taysom Hill. And now looking at a situation where I think his contract, what was it, like a two-year, 21 mil or so, 16 guaranteed, you're paying this man. So it's like, does that mean more pressures on him to really step into that quarterback position? Or do you still stay with Jameis, who has unique drills, but still at least didn't turn the ball over and they still were able to win with him in it in the second half?
Unique drills is the nicest way of putting whatever we saw on the field. Thankfully, it wasn't eating a W, so we can all at least hang our hats on that. But no,
Jhené,
there's wrong with eating the W, many things that we can get into as we get into some questionable food takes that are going to come up in a little bit here from me. But Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I'd say this, Jhené, my comments here about Taysom Hill more have to do with the fact what we've always heard from there, how much Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill, so much that he takes their Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, off the field for this guy more often than the rest of us would be able to stomach. But now, on multiple occasions, we'll likely be seeing, the way we did in this game, the other backup. I say the other, the true backup, going in these situations for a guy in Taysom Hill who certainly offers you a lot and does what multiple roster spots would do, just not in the way that so many people touted for so long, like he was really in line to be the heir apparent for Drew Brees.
Yeah, I just think it's funny because you wonder how much you're paying for these positions. And if you're paying over two years, 60 mil guaranteed versus a one-year deal, I think, for Jameis, something really short and way less than that. I just sometimes think like, do we have our priorities? And I think that's why a lot of people question it. But hey, as long as they're able to find a win, however the packages look, whether it's Taysom Hill, you know, inserting himself more, or Jameis Winston at least holding it down and not turning the ball over, I think the Saints have to feel okay, because I want to actually pull this up. their schedule later on in the year. After this week, Atlanta at Denver, Atlanta again, and then Philly. So like they have some winnable games even without Drew Brees.
Very winnable stretch coming up for them. Should Jameis be the one going in under center? I think so. Chinay thinks so. You can weigh in at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. Chinay and Golic Jr. reminding you, be a part of Chinay and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, Chinay, what we got to see last night on the quarterback front was something interesting. I have never seen people so quick to rush, to lump blame, and to assign narratives to a game that I wanted over at halftime, Chinay, when we were watching the Patriots and the Ravens play last night in a certified monsoon. And yet I think there are still going to be those that wake up today and look at Lamar Jackson and his performance now coming from behind in games and the way that they've performed in big games in general and try and lump something onto this. Chinay, was there anything you saw in that game last night that looked like a normal week out on the football field?
Not at all, which is why I feel like it's more on the rain than it is really on Baltimore, because we made the same, you know, it's funny when we have these conversations about quarterbacks and like how much coaches talk about them, whether they like them or not, it involved the Patriots. Was it this past week, especially with Coach Bill Belichick talking about Cam early on and he's our guy, and even before that Stidham and everyone else. So now looking at the situation where it actually works to their advantage in the sense that, like, I don't know if you heard the Cam sound, and maybe we can pull it up later. He was like, we have a guy that can pretty much predict the weather when it comes to play calling. I was laughing at him saying it, but it just seemed like the weather really determined this one. Balls where people were not even near, people were dropping due to the rain. And I think this is also another good point where the same treatment that we gave the Patriots and, all right, we have to look at how many people they had opted out, that Cam had COVID, and a number of other issues that they had with injuries, and that's why they're struggling. You have to sort of look at the Ravens this way too. I feel like they've had some key injuries, especially, and now you factor in the weather, like it just seems like all of their momentum has absolutely been stolen in different ways this season. Like most of the NFL teams are realizing it's not hard, it's not easy to succeed this year. It's that much harder. And I think the Ravens, we sort of put them on a pedestal based on Lamar with the MVP stuff, but now it's like, no, this is hard for everybody.
Yeah, Lamar is dealing with that thing that comes along with winning the MVP, which is we think no matter what happens to the rest of the team, if you're out there, it still needs to go well. But he saw what the rest of us saw, the sunlight and everything clear up, the rain stop almost immediately after the game ended. And he realized what I think is kind of the most true here, that sometimes Mother Nature just doesn't have that in the cards for you.
The condition, the weather wasn't on our side. Every time we was up, it like the rain just started pouring down even harder. But you know, it's part of football. Things happen. The weather's not gonna always be perfect. We still gotta find a way to pull through, pull out a victory, and we just didn't tonight.
And Chinay, I'd say this, it was the same rain for both teams, regardless of what Lamar intimates there. The Patriots were out there in that same slot. But I look at this and say, all right, yeah, last night Lamar Jackson was 1 for 6 for 18 yards and an interception on throws of 15 yards or more. Why are we throwing in the ball 15 yards or more often enough for this to be relevant in the middle of that storm? Whereas on the other side, Cam Newton had his, by air yards per attempt, his second shortest average completed pass in any game so far this season, because the Patriots looked last night and said, you know what, Damian probably needs to go out there and have himself a game on the ground, which he did. We need to keep it short and work up here and ultimately lean into the things that we know our quarterback does well and are going to work well in the middle of. There's weather, and then there's what we saw last night, where you basically spent a whole week game planning to go out there and have to just slop it out in whatever the hell that was right there. I assign so little meaning to what happens in games like this, Chinay, and I'd rather just look at it and say, what we've learned isn't about Lamar Jackson or the future trajectory of this team. What we learned is that they're too banged up to absorb trying to go out there and play like it isn't raining. That's where we're at with this team.
No, absolutely. Like anyone watching, that's why I said, like, at halftime, you could have just pressed pause or at least done, and everything would have been the same based on how the weather was going. But it is funny too. You're right, because it's like everything's done when the game is done. Like, where were you at half? But I do think there are implications, because even though luck in the bad rain was on the Ravens' side in this one, I mean, it does compound the issues that they have, especially in the AFC North, because now you're looking at a team that's three losses behind the Steelers, who still found ways to win even despite their issues that they had, you know, going into their matchup versus the Bengals this week. So, you know, you see teams trending in one direction, even so being the Steelers, you see teams within your division trailing the other way. But the thing is, the talent is still there, clearly, for the Ravens. It just seems like they've had a stretch where luck hasn't been on their side.
Luck, injuries, and I'm glad you brought up some of the things within that division we should have probably factored in more heading into this season. A lot to get to there, as well as a comparison with a quarterback who's struggling a bit on the NFC right now with the weight of expectations and those three letters in MVP that can sometimes haunt different guys. But coming up next, we're talking about rain out on the East Coast. Let's get to one spot where the sun's shining a little brighter after a big move in the NBA offseason. We'll get to that next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is an ultimate middle school drive-around summer feel-good right here. It was in basically every movie that came out from like 2001 to 2004.
What's the name of the song again? I'm forgetting.
Good question. I have no idea.
I know the words.
Does anyone know this one?
Couldn't tell you. So, let's get back to the material here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
ESPN Plus and the podcast audience is going to love this. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. In about 10 minutes, we're going to have Ramona Shelburne, our ESPN NBA insider and writer, join us to try and help us figure out if this is the most of what we're going to see, how many of these Harden rumors we should read into, because Chinay
Weezer
before.
Island in the Sun. Take that. Continue.
Island in the Sun. There we go. Boom. Book that one. We'll see if that's as ironclad as what we're hearing right now and all this Harden stuff, because, Janae, I know you're trying to run from it, but right now James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets is the NBA offseason trade rumor that I'm going to hug tight. Like, if we don't get this, do you know how supremely underwhelming everything is going to feel in the NBA offseason to me?
That is true, because there's a lot going on, and I think right now that is the hottest, no pun intended, the hottest thing that people are talking about. James Harden potentially on the move to Brooklyn, yes.
James Harden potentially on the move to Brooklyn is the one thing that could heat this thing up to a new level, because right now we have gotten the news today from our very own Adrian Wojnarowski that the Oklahoma City Thunder are trading Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns. You heard that right. So, Chinay, going to be interesting there, and obviously there are other components to this. Chris Paul and Abdel Nader are going to go to the Suns for Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, and Jalen Lecque. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, in a 2022 first-round pick, sources tell ESPN. So, Chinay, you hear this. It's interesting. The Suns were the team everyone talked about in the NBA bubble, went undefeated when they got there, got left out of the playoffs, but Devin Booker and everyone else have a super bright future in front of them coming out of the bubble. Does this Chris Paul move, is he still a kind of player that puts them over the edge? Are we back on that after what we saw from him in Oklahoma City this year?
This is the definition of betting on yourself, because he stepped into a situation, unfortunately, where it keeps centering on my team, Houston, where there was a lot of tension, drama, the way things sort of ended, and then he ends up in OKC. And so now this move to Phoenix, I think what we've seen in a year is Chris Paul rehabilitate his entire career at the age of 34 into 35, so much so that he is looked to as a valuable piece. We know that we're talking about the Phoenix Suns in this instance, but he was also, immediately once Giannis and the Bucks got bounced out of the playoffs, we were like, you need Chris Paul there. So he was able to revive his career in a way that most people probably should start to appreciate. Now, my thing is, when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, I was like, okay, like, this is sneaky good. Would this have happened if the Suns didn't go on that undefeated bubble run? Like, if they weren't invited to the bubble, would Chris Paul even look to this as a team that he needs to be on? That is some food for thought. But you know, we're in a situation where that's the reality. They showed a lot of promise, Devin Booker especially, as being an emerging star. You have DeAndre Ayton, who I think a lot of people are starting to get Lob City sort of vibes from, potentially in the pick and roll game with Chris Paul. Devin has shown that he can score in a versatile amount of, you have a big three, versatile amount of ways. You have a big three now that actually is certified, so much that you have balance, you have buckets, you have leadership, you have someone to rim defend. Like, there are a lot of things that they fixed with this addition of Chris Paul, and he was able to upgrade himself based off of that trial run that he sort of had with OKC. And now he's in a position where OKC probably was not built to compete, you know, even though they played hard, especially in the playoffs versus my Rockets. But now they're putting themselves in a position where, and Chris Paul specifically, that ceiling just got raised a lot, because he's now playing with talents that can emerge DeAndre Ayton into something even stronger than what he has been as a number one pick that a lot of people probably look past, Devin Booker, you know, included. So this is a good move for Chris. I just was more so like, at this age, would you want to be going to a place that's a maybe contender for a championship or a certified contender? But more power, because Chris Paul sort of knows his value and knows how to maintain that no matter where he goes.
Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns, a breaking move. Breaking moves brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And yeah, Chiney, that's an interesting one. I mean, I feel like for so long, once LeBron landed in Los Angeles, we just assumed he was going to keep trying to absorb as many of his friends as he could on that one. So where are you on that prospect? And obviously, the Lakers have a lot to contend with cap-wise. They're trying to make sure that they re-sign Anthony Davis for that big number that he wants after the opt-out, technically a free agent now, but we know how that's probably going to work out, versus what the Lakers got in Dennis Schroeder. Like, that's a guy coming over onto that team that at times struggled. You know, he had Rondo on the court when he was healthy, helping delegate things when LeBron couldn't be the ball handler. Were you surprised that they weren't bigger players maybe in the Chris Paul sweepstakes just because of that connection?
I just think that that's a little bit tougher. You know, a lot of people assume when LeBron wants his friends on his team that he always makes it happen. It's not necessarily the case, because that's the same thing people were assuming when it came to Carmelo Anthony trying to find a spot after all of the hiatus he had. They're like, oh, LeBron, are you going to give the nod to him? Like, no, LeBron does what is best for the team building, even though those people, those pieces might often be his friends or, you know, part of the agency of Clutch. Like, that's just the way it is. But what I see what the Lakers did here actually was sneaky good. Getting Dennis Schroeder is sneaky good. Unfortunately, parting ways with Danny Green is tough, but, like, you know, we saw how, you know, in the playoffs it was a little bit more streaky from Danny, but now you've got Dennis Schroeder, who gives you what, 19 points per game off the bench as a sixth man of the year type of player, and now you bring that into the fold of a team that has just won a championship, and he could provide that extra oomph of offense that we were searching for throughout the course of the year. Like, this was a sneaky good get by the Lakers, knowing that the West is going to be harder with the Warriors back for sure.
And in what hopefully resembles a more stable and normal season, especially down the stretch, obviously all the abnormalities of last year going to be evened out to an extent. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All right, coming up next, you wanted to talk about big threes. We'll see if Brooklyn is on their way to one. We'll do that next.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to give the NCAA a nice pat on the head for doing the easy thing here. It's the right thing. But it's the easy thing, and we got to explore one food that the crew around here managed to stump me with. And
we're saving that for halftime, okay?
It's probably going to surprise no one. Yeah, yeah, Chiney's proposed this idea of halftime, where when we get halfway through the show, if we do our jobs well enough along the way here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, that we deserve a halftime where we just get to completely take the rails off this thing, take the training wheels off.
Let's let the people decide if we get halftime. So tweet us now on the Dr. Pepper Twitter at Michael Jr., at Chiney, and tell us if you guys want halftime where it's us, unfiltered but not going to get fired levels of conversation. Continue, friend.
Unfiltered but not going to get fired. A tightrope that we are going to try our best to walk on that. We're going to, in the meantime, until we get to halftime, try and veer slightly back on course, and the only way we're going to do that is if we bring in some adult supervision here. So we are delighted now to be joined on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our very own ESPN senior writer, Ramona Shelburne, with us now. Ramona, thank you for the time and for saving us from ourselves in this situation. We are at times a rudderless ship, but with you, we think we've found something. And Ramona, I have to know, I am now latched on to the idea of James Harden ending up in Brooklyn. I've heard enough of it for it to occupy my brain. How realistic do you think this is?
You know, when I first heard it, it was mostly like going around amongst players, right? Like they were all working out in LA, and then players talk. You know how that is. Today knows, because you're in that circle. Okay, players talk, and it was like, oh, okay, and that's what made me actually think it was real, because to me in the NBA, that's how these things get done. It doesn't. I mean, as much as you think like agents are working behind the scenes and the GMs are, you know, moving all the pieces around, the real power and the real leverage in this league are superstars. And if James Harden leans hard enough on the Rockets, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving lean hard enough on the Nets, I think this could happen. But you got to lean hard, not lean back, right?
Lean back. I love it. That's why I love Ramona Shelberta, our own ESPN senior writer here on Chene and Gold Jr. talking to us about the NBA rumors. Lean back. That's my sis right there. Now, clearly, you know, players, you're right. Players will talk and they will make themselves clear in whether they want to stay or whether they want to go or even just want to explore. And one of those players that was abundantly clear was Russell Westbrook saying that he likely wants to be out through his intermediaries, his people. We've heard the Knicks swirling, but more recently, Charlotte swirling. So how do you equate the other half? We now know James Harden it and potentially Brooklyn. What about Russell Westbrook?
Okay, so let's try to see the whole board here, right? So we heard about Russell Westbrook, and I think maybe you heard about things out of order, if that makes sense. The stuff with James Harden talking to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and them all hooping together and then that getting around, I think that got around and back to Russell Westbrook, which is part of the reason he was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Okay. Yes, I do think that this is, going to be hard to move Russ no matter what. Like, there's just not a lot of options where, if he wants to be the man, if he wants to be Russell Westbrook, that we saw who was an MVP in Oklahoma City, who gets to the focal point of an offense, like, I can't name you too many contenders where you trade him there and he becomes that. Most contenders you trade him to, he's number two or number three option. And we just saw that movie in Houston and it didn't work out. Now, I'm still one of those people who thinks like the Rockets could have done more damage if we didn't have the interruption in the season. Like, they were playing great when the season was interrupted in March. So, you know, part of me says, just run it back, Houston. Don't do anything. Hang tight and just let those guys play, because you don't want to trade a guy like James Harden or Russell Westbrook, you know, at the bottom of their value. But I don't see the Knicks doing that, Chene, because to me, New York has to decide right now, are they trying to win this year? Or are they trying to, I mean, there's no such thing as selling tickets this year. Okay. No one's going to games right now. You know, I know I told you all about the Warriors and their plan, and I'm told like they got a call from 29 other teams saying, hey, can I get a copy of that plan? Cause we should try to do that too. Let's all try to get together on it. But right now there's no such thing as like box office, which is what I think a Russell Westbrook trade in New York would be. I don't see that. I think Charlotte to me makes the most sense, if they're going to move him and if he really wants to be moved, because Michael Jordan owns Charlotte. Russ is the signature athlete for Jordan Brand. That would be a great business pairing. The Hornets, you know, obviously need a star, and that's the best kind of way to get one. I think Russ would be the man on that team. They have a couple of nice young players, but Russ would step right in there and kind of create the same kind of environment he had in Oklahoma City. But I don't know. Charlotte's got the number three pick in this draft. And if LaMelo Ball's there, do you want Russ in front of him? Don't you want LaMelo to play that position? So, like, there's just, like, a lot of hurdles that I think that Houston would have to clear to trade Russ. Now, if they trade James, then Russ is the man. Maybe they don't need to.
Chene Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chene Agwumike, talking to our ESPN senior writer, Ramona Shelburne, here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And let's stick with the 6 degrees of separation of this group here, because if you're talking about this group, then Chris Paul is not far away, and he's the move that's actually happened now. Chris Paul on his way to Phoenix to be a part of the Suns team. And Ramona, I thought it was interesting. I saw Woj tweet that Sam Presti's got a history of working with his star players to try and negotiate deals to destinations that they desire or find desirable in this spot. So I'm curious, for Chris Paul at this point in his career, why was Phoenix the most desirable spot, or was it the most desirable spot for him? Because I don't know if the rest of us look at them as a surefire contender as much as a team on the rise after last year.
Well, okay, you know, Chris's family is still here in Los Angeles, and they moved with him when he was in Houston, but they didn't move with him last year in Oklahoma City. And if you know Chris, you know how important that is for him to be able to see his kids and his wife and, you know, just be close to them. So I think that fit. It's going to be in Los Angeles. Phoenix is, you know, outside of Golden State, which they already have Steph. They don't need, you know, Chris Paul. Like, this is the best. This is the closest you can get. I think this is, they have the same agency. In this case, I actually think that matters, because, you know, so much of this trade to me is about keeping Devin Booker happy. And that's what the Suns had to do after the star turn that he had in the bubble. And, you know, Robert Sarver had to show Devin Booker, like, I'm willing to step up, make a trade like this, pay the, I think it's cost him an extra, like, $12 million in salary this year. It's not that much more, but it is a lot more when you're talking about a season with no fans, and especially for a franchise that, you know, hasn't made the playoffs, and I forget what the number is now, but it's a long time. I guess it would probably, I feel like it's 2000, I want to say 2010 is the last time I can remember them in the playoffs. But, you know, that's a long time, and Phoenix is one of those cities that when they get it together, I mean, we had such a nice run going there when during the Mike D'Antoni era. It'd be nice to see the Suns back in the playoffs and in contention. So I think they make a lot of sense, to be honest. They're a team on the rise, close to home. He sees his kids all the time. His family can come see him. Like, it's a great, it'd be too high. I thought Philadelphia was in the mix for Chris Paul. Not just because Daryl Morey knows him from their time in Houston together, but he would just be a great fit for them in Philly. They need a point guard, obviously, with that team. But it's just harder to get that done with what Philly has to offer. And I think Sam Presti, man, when you look back on this, guys, Chris Paul had what we thought was one of the worst contracts in the NBA a year and a half ago. Somehow, Sam Presti managed to get that contract. He got two first-round picks and two pick swaps from the Rockets just to take that contract in that Russell Westbrook trade. Now, also because he was giving up Russell Westbrook, who had a lot higher value at that point, but he got two first-round picks and two pick swaps with the Rockets. And today, Chris Paul played so well last year, making an all-star team, the way he lost weight, the way he just looked like a 5 years younger, I thought, last year on the court. He rebuilt his value so much last year. Sam Presti even got another first-round pick in this deal. That's unbelievable.
The finesse god himself, Sam Presti, right? Out here working on this one. Check her out, read her anywhere you can on ESPN. The great Ramona Shelburne with us here. Thanks, Ramona.
Thanks, Mama Momo.
Thank you. Bye.
ESPN senior NBA writer Ramona Shelburne with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But coming up next, Chinee, we got to move from the world of pro game. We'll keep back and checking in and seeing if my James Harden dreams come true. And what did you call them? The three misunderstood musketeers?
Yes, I might have called them that, yes, last Friday.
That may have slipped out, among other things, last Friday. We'll keep an eye out on those guys. But coming up next, we'll turn our eyes on to the hardwood in the world of college athletics, why the NCAA did the easy thing, and they deserve some credit for that, but not too much. And the Chitlins controversy that is exploding around this crew. We'll get to that all coming up in a little bit. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In a little bit, we're going to figure out why a couple of MVP tangent quarterbacks look like they're part of the problem right now. Or at least that's what everyone wants us to believe at this point. Don't take the bait. It's there. You don't need to bite. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agwumike. And I had an interesting quote come up during the break about two segments ago. Spencer, who's produced and helped us out over here before, works at ESPN Radio, came in during the break and just sort of haphazardly, there was a conversation going on about eggnog. And he just walked in and goes, "Do you ever spike the nog?" And first off, I wasn't sure if it was okay to call eggnog the nog. It would actually, I think, be a great bit of rebranding for a drink that does not sound appetizing on
Wait,
its own.
Why do you have credibility to even say any of this? Have you had eggnog before?
No, I haven't, because it doesn't sound like it tastes good. Who wants to drink something called eggnog? It sounds gross.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just surprised because you are the taster extraordinaire, but like, eggnog is good. It's almost like vanilla ice cream melted into a drinkable form. Not like a milkshake.
But you just described a milkshake, and that was the whole point of the argument. Devin, back me up on this. Our producer, Devin, said it during the break.
Listen, what we've come to is, like, what does eggnog do that milkshakes can't do? If you can answer one good thing it does other than it puts me in the holiday spirit.
You can drink it easier, and it can be spiked.
You can spike
it's versatile. It's more versatile. You
who
can have it warm, cold, all
I don't
that.
Know who
like
you can
have eggnog warm and cold. Like it's more versatile than a milkshake.
I had my eggnog
that,
warm.
Stop trying to tailor your take towards, oh, if it's not a milkshake, I don't need it. Like
thank you.
Stop doing that. Appreciate eggnog for the holiday season cheer that it gives us.
Thank you. Coming from the people that haven't even tried it. So they're knocking it before they try it. I'm not with that.
I'm just saying the Nog would be a great rebrand. Like, I don't think I really want to try eggnog, but all of a sudden you're out here slinging the Nog. Oh, I'm there. You got the like, Nog? Oh, you're going to go to the party. Yeah, but they don't got any Nog there, man. Like, I'm not rolling up to a party with okay, no Nog.
I will say, now that we're talking about the Nog, will you try some?
Yeah, you know what? I'll give some of it the try, but only if we agree on the show that we're only calling it the Nog now.
Only if we agree that I can only call you Puddin.
Oh my God. Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get me that. I'm never gonna outrun that, am I?
Spike Puddin.
Never. Spike Puddin. What is
now, I can say there's a line on the scale of like gelatinous beverage / food where you go too far. I don't think Chine, you wouldn't spike pudding, would you?
I mean, nah, maybe not. You never know, man.
You know what, as I say that, Jello shots fly in the face of that. Like,
that's exactly what I was saying. Like, people, you know, have those type of things. Granted, you know, that's not my taste, okay? But yeah, go ahead.
We're going to try and figure this out along the way. What? How far down the road can you be spiking things before it becomes
more importantly,
solid?
Do you guys like eggnog? Eggnog. Let us know at Chine at Mike Golick Jr.
Or are you down calling it the Nog? That's where I want it. That's my hill to die on. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Now, Chine, I am very much planting my tongue in cheek right now as we throw some snaps some way of the NCAA, who said and decided that because of the risks of the coronavirus pandemic, the entire 2021 NCAA men's basketball tournament will be played in one location. They are in talks with Indianapolis and the surrounding metro area to be that location. And Chine, I plant my tongue firmly in cheek because, of course, protecting your golden goose in this way makes an overwhelming amount of sense. I think it's the relatively easy decision in all this, but I am the cynic on this show, so I do want to ask you, do you think that this is a move that deserves praise from the NCAA?
No. I know. I'm the cynic now. Look at you rubbing off on me. Everyone's talking about because I ate a chopped salad and donuts, Krispy Kreme for dinner, you're rubbing off on me. This is part two with the NCAA. And that was on Twitter for those who are wondering. I think this is a smart move just because we saw how well the NBA bubble, the WNBA bubble, all those bubbles worked, especially when it comes to basketball. So if you can get everyone to one location, that's the best shot at having a tournament that is fair and that everyone has a chance to compete in and succeed in. I think the part that, again, makes me now a little cynical is just like, oh, we don't care how you get there, but like, once you get there, we're good. Like, we're seeing how hard it is for teams to get to a point where they can even finish a season well or have enough games, as we're seeing in football, to be qualified for the college football playoff. Like, it's taking the onus on those teams, those schools, those institutions, those decisions of conferences, instead of the NCAA saying like, hey, we're here to help you get all the way figured out. Instead, they're here to help you when it counts the most for us.
I'm glad you said when it counts, Chine, because there are three numbers that tell you exactly why this is all happening the way it's happening, the way you just described. 3, 7, and 5. As in, the NCAA lost $375 million because of the cancellation of last year's NCAA tournament. And so you're right. They can set it up so that in this season, you can punt as often as you need to on this. They'll figure out what you need, you know, win percentage-wise to be relevant for the tournament. But all in all, they're going to make good and damn sure that you wind up in Indianapolis or wherever they pick to keep going out here and getting that money back for these TV rights deals and back for these athletic departments and for the NCAA.
The Nog. You're right.
The Nog. It's all about it. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to keep figuring out if the Nog is the way to go on this one. And how much blame do a pair of MVP caliber quarterbacks deserve in what's gone wrong with their teams? We'll do that next on Chine and Golick Jr.